I want to open with a beautiful blessing from John O'Donohue, a blessing of the morning. I arise today in the name of silence, womb of the word, in the name of stillness, home of belonging, in the name of solitude of the soul and of the earth. I arise today, blessed by all things, wings of breath, delight of eyes, wonder of whisper, intimacy of touch, eternity of soul, urgency of thought, miracle of health, embrace of God. May I live this day compassionate of heart, clear in word, gracious in awareness, courageous in thought, generous in love. And so it is. It's a beautiful book, this month's Book of the Month. I encourage you to have a look at it. Up until now, that's my topic this morning. The phrase is one that's heard now and then in this teaching, The Science of Mind. It implies that no matter what has been, we can make a change. There are infinite possibilities. I first heard the phrase when someone was explaining to me the challenge that they needed treatment for. And they said something like, up until now, I haven't had a regular exercise program. Or maybe, up until now, I've been intolerant of the way my daughter-in-law is. There's a way in which we use that phrase to bracket whatever we wanted to shift off outside the reality of our life. I think that particular phrase, up until now, arises from a fear that underlies the old-fashioned way of looking at science of mind. In our basic teachings, before they started to unfold and evolve, whatever we thought or spoke about came real, so that if we were talking about something difficult and challenging, we would give it power. Kind of had an attitude toward talking about our challenges like Voldemort, that which cannot be named. Fortunately, at this point, as our teaching is open at the top, we've changed. We've begun to realize the value and the importance of acknowledging what is, be it labeled good or bad. All of it informs and gives something to our lives. So, up until now, there are infinite possibilities, and we can change whatever they are in this moment. This morning's affirmation points to that. I release the past and claim a higher, happier experience of today. Who wouldn't want to be happier today than we were yesterday, right? In my classes, one of the first things I say to participants is, you're going to hear a lot about what we teach in Science of Mind. Almost everything that we say, I have a couple of exceptions, and I don't have time to talk about them at the moment, is subject to your reflecting on it and deciding whether or not it's true for you. Just because it's in a book, or a teacher says it, or it's up on a screen, doesn't mean you have to accept it. So, because it was a little bit of, as I read the affirmation, I took a deeper look and reflected on it a little bit more deeply. Does the affirmation resonate with me? My answer was no. Here's the affirmation again. I release the past and claim a higher, happier experience of life today. For me, that statement disconnects me from my entire lived experience. It says that what I want to pay attention to is not all of my life, but the good parts of my life, and throw the rest away. We need to be better, to have more, to do more, to be more enlightened, an infinite pursuit of not good enough, until maybe someday we arrive at whatever it is that we're looking for. I believe that our well-being lies in wholeness, in acknowledging all of who we are, every bit, past and present, including both our gifts and our challenges. I want happy experiences now, and I know I've had happy experiences in the past. Just because they're past doesn't somehow disconnect them from who I am. I want aliveness as my life, even when that means accepting the so-long bad, so-called bad, along with the so-called good. I see someone shivering in front. Could we get a little more heat in this space? If someone knows how to do that, that would be lovely. So, one of the ways that I think about how we move out of this yuck, oh, cool, no, is to stop labeling our experiences, to say, this is good, and this is bad, and oh, this, well, it's kind of meh, which maybe is the most accurate description, a little bit good, a little bit bad. Especially toxic is when we start labeling ourselves and telling ourselves that we need to change for the better because there's something wrong with us right now. We're not all that we should be, not what we came here to do, not good enough. There is something in our mainstream North American culture that demands that we constantly grow, get more, do more, become more in this incredible lifelong pursuit of goodness and wholeness, when the irony is we're already there. I want to talk about this in two ways. The first goes back to when I was an executive director, CEO of a nonprofit. I was doing that for about 20 years. And along the way, the board of directors invited me to attend a leadership seminar at the University of Chicago one summer. It was about the richness of leadership and the value of collaboration. In one of the first sessions, the professor leading it invited us to make a list of the characters in our life. We wrote down that list, and he suggested ideas like there may be a queen, a mother, a fool, a peacemaker, all sorts of characters in our life. My list was quite varied. Then he asked quite an interesting question. Who's the star in the play that's your life, that play that you write and you direct? For me, back in the 1990s, it was the White Knight, that one that comes charging in to save the day. In my case, probably Joan of Arc might be a more gender-appropriate image. I was very good at rescuing, supporting, saving everybody else. That was my role. That was who I was. And it led to occasionally saying yes, because that was easier than claiming the no that I wanted to say. That's when I learned why the professor also asked us, who do you have off stage? Who are you hiding back in the wings? Because I realized that my Joan of Arc needed the balance and wisdom of, take a guess, who do you think I called into my play? The temper tantrum throwing 2-year-old. Because there's a way in which that 2-year-old who stomps her feet and says, no, 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 knows what she wants, says what she wants, and sticks to it. That one that brings some embarrassment to me, I will admit, also taught my white knight that was always saying yes, that there were times when no, the no that I wanted to say, needed to be spoken. Thank goodness she's not the star of my life. That would be a little bit challenging. But I'm also not casting her out of the play, calling her irresponsible, selfish, just totally inappropriate and not desired to be in my life. Because each and every character in my life, over all of my life, not just this moment, has value and contributes to the allness of who I am. So that's a piece of it, a very important piece. I also want to talk a little bit about one of my characters who occasionally steals the scene. That's the queen with a capital Q, please. She knows the rules of her realm, and she is absolutely clear on how people are supposed to be. She was very valuable to me when I was an executive director. I will admit to leaning into her clarity and demandingness, probably a little more than I needed to. She also created chaos and disempowerment in my organization because I knew how it was supposed to be. Everybody else didn't have a clue, was stupid, was uninformed, didn't care, every single way I can judge. And so that's kind of how they felt. Some real interesting dialogue started to happen in my play when she stopped shouting, "Off with their heads! Off with their heads!" So I invite you over the next week to play with this idea of who are the characters in your life and what roles do they play? Are they center stage, spotlighted? Are they supporting roles, supporting characters? Are they hidden off stage because you're not sure you want to let them out? Part of our journey toward wholeness is not just being in this little moment, but recognizing our lives and how they are unfolding and welcoming every bit of it. Those that we're a little bit squeamish with, that we're not sure we want to let people know about, like my temper tantrum throwing 2-year-old, even they have value in our life, in my life. Even those that you go, oh yeah, there is that, but nah, that one's not coming on stage. Welcome what they have to teach you. Be curious about what their gifts are. And don't shut them away because they don't exactly match your perfect image of who you should be. Shoulds and can'ts, and not enough could be banished from our vocabulary. I'm absolutely fine with your taking those parts out of your script, but leave all the richness of the variety of characters in it. So when we constantly want better, happier, more this, more that, we're forgetting what's already present. There is a little bit of truth in the today is better than yesterday. And that is, for me at least, this. When I'm doing my work, when I'm getting to know who I am, day by day by day, more of the beauty and the power and the aliveness of who I am becomes clear to me. It's always there, but it begins to come alive and clear to me. Here's what Ernest Holmes has to say about this idea of the wholeness and ourself. It's quite amazing from his book, This Thing Called You. Every now and then I stumble across something and highlight it and star it and underline it, and then it shows up in a talk. You exist, that divine feeling, fire, imagination, and creativity may be expressed through you. The Spirit comes to you with a new and fresh creativity. You need not ask what others have done or how they have done it. Be yourself and express life as you find it. Never imitate. Trust the self. Find the self in God and God in the self. Never imitate. Trust the self. Find the self in God and God in the self. We may be more or less aware of that sacred core, that divine spark within us. That doesn't mean that there's more or less of it in all the different variations of ourselves. It simply means that there are times when we're less aware of it. But it's our come from, our wholeness, the essence that cherishes all that we are. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. It doesn't chop off parts of us and say, ugh, in order for her to be perfect, she's got to get rid of that. Or walk away because we're having a tough time and we're forgetting who we are. Well, I'm just going to get out of here. There's no point in her. No. That one aliveness within us, that one that absolutely welcomes, loves, expects, cherishes, supports, delights in, and everything else, that one is unavoidable. We can think we're separate from it, but we never are. So I affirm that I have moments of happiness, moments of grief, moments of doubt, moments galore in my past, in this moment, and in the time to come. I choose to be present. I choose to be open. I choose to be curious about my unique expression of the divine and my unique gifts. I welcome the allness of who I am. Back to John O'Donohue for a blessing of presence. Awaken to the mystery of being here. And enter the quiet immensity of your own presence. Have joy and peace in the temple of your senses. Receive encouragement when new frontiers beckon. Respond to the call of your gift and the courage to follow its path. Let the flame of anger free you of all falsity. May warmth of heart keep your presence aflame. May anxiety never linger about you. May your outer dignity mirror an inner dignity of soul. Take time to celebrate the quiet miracles that seek no attention. Be consoled in the symmetry of your soul. May you experience each day as a sacred gift woven around the heart of wonder. So for me, up until now becomes, I celebrate the wholeness of all that I am. That's eloquent, perhaps, and inspiring, perhaps. And now we need to figure out how the heck we get there. How do we do that? How do we go from fixing, changing, advising, and judging ourselves to a different way of holding, loving, and accepting ourselves? And maybe in doing that, we also have space not to fix, change, advise, or otherwise judge others. Much of what follows comes from the work of psychologist and author Dr. Patty Ashley. Her TED Talk, Trauma, Shame, and Being Enough, is worth watching. One of my beliefs, strongly held, is that the more we know ourselves, the more aware we are of the wondrous beings that we are in human form. I drop into that knowing in mindfulness that Jon Kabat-Zinn calls moment-to-moment non-judgmental awareness. That simple presence, joy, wonder, curiosity is seen in infants and young children. Their right brains develop first, experiencing the world as feelings, not through logic and words. As they get older, children often learn that certain feelings and certain ways of being aren't acceptable. Here are some of the lessons. Stop crying, or I'll give you something to cry about. Get over yourself and be happy. You should be grateful for what you have. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. I'm sure each of you has other phrases you can add to the list. One of the ways to that sense of welcome and wholeness of all of who you are is to become aware of what you were taught as a child and ask yourself if it's true. Is it something that is true for you? And notice what bubbles up. You're becoming your strongest champion is an incredible gift to yourself. It begins to loosen those knots of can'ts and shoulds and musts and not enough, not good enough. Also, reconnect with your feelings, not just the three most obvious ones, angry, sad, frustrated. Those are the ones that people often name, and sometimes they throw in happy. Start to notice the range of them. If you go on Google, there are dozens of feeling charts where you can start to explore what exactly is it that I'm feeling that isn't exactly sadness? What is it? Or it isn't exactly happiness? What is it? And get to know your body's wisdom about your life. I warn you that deep inquiry is hard work. It takes commitment and persistence. It's not a magic wand of suddenly transforming all of how you see yourself and your life. So take time to do what brings you joy. Not distractions that numb you, like my video games or someone else's whatever it is, but the buoyant, bubbling up feelings that gift your being with renewed aliveness. Neuroscience now has shown that those moments of good feeling actually positively affect your DNA and your neural pathways. So if you can't do it because it feels good, but you can do it because it helps your brain, do it. As poet Mary Oliver suggests, if we pause for a moment, even for something as inconsequential as a few birds singing, we might find unexpected joy. The neuroscience findings bear repeating. Creativity and joy positively change your neural pathways and even your DNA. Wonder, awe, curiosity, the magic of imagination. All this makes a difference. Take time to play. It's one of the gifts of little grandkids. Play with them while they're still little grandkids and wanting to play with you. I'm going to close with some words from Mary O'Malley. The first is from What's in the Way is the Way. The more you can learn how to use your mind rather than having it use you, you will discover that okayness, welcoming all that is your natural state, and that it is always with you no matter what happens in your life. You just don't see it because you are always trying to find it. And you can't find it because you never lost it. You could be angry, deeply despairing, or even very afraid, and your natural field of well-being is also there at the same moment you are caught in struggle. You can learn how to recognize and live from the place beyond struggle, no matter what is happening in your life. And from her book, Falling in Love with You, it is your birthright to love and accept yourself as you are. This doesn't mean that you don't try bettering yourself. It just means your healing doesn't arise from the belief that you are not okay. I celebrate the wholeness of all that I am. I celebrate your wholeness of all that you are. Let us pray. Only one power, one love that created all that is. Planets, universes, ants, flowers, human beings, all that is. As it created out of itself, its qualities were infused in all its creation. It could not be otherwise. Love, wisdom, creativity, freedom, grace. All of that is within me and within each one hearing these words and beyond. That aliveness, that radiant love, is the essence of each of us, is present no matter what as we navigate challenges, as we live through grief, as we dance with joy, in every bit of our lives. It is present, it affirms, it guides, it blesses, and it loves us. For we are that, and it is a part of us. Always, always, always. I breathe into this and feel a great loosening of all those places within me that were in doubt, were in judgment, were feeling not quite good enough. I recognize my wholeness and the wholeness of each one alive in this moment. For that's simply the truth of life. Not denying challenges. Not condoning ill. But knowing underneath all of it is that one. In gratitude for this truth, I release it into law and into love, knowing it so. And if you choose to say with me in affirmation, and so it is.